Oh, it's good to see everybody again for our second week of celebrating creativity. And thank you so much to everyone who brought all the beautiful and fascinating and interesting things for us to look at. One of the great things about that is us being able to understand all of the gifting and talent in this church that we might not even be aware of. So I'd like to talk to you today about the arts and spiritual formation, how embracing the arts can be tools for our spiritual growth. And I've been privileged to write a book about this topic, and I've gotten a chance to speak all over the country in various places on this topic. And so this is just a little introduction to the topic today. If you're interested in more, love to talk to you about it, or you can, this is the advertisement part of the show. I do have a book called Discovering God Through the Arts, and invite you to take a look at that. So let's go ahead and get started. So I was in Venice about 5 or 6 years ago, and let me tell you, I so was looking forward to being in Italy, and all prepared for the fact that it was going to be good, but it probably wouldn't be as good as I'd hoped. Well, it actually was as good as I hoped. It was an amazing place, and the tour I was on the kind of the tour's last day, was going to be a half a day in Venice, which didn't seem like enough to me. So I actually stayed another extra day all by myself in the city of Venice so I could do a little touristing. And so I sat down to kind of plan out what I wanted to do with my day. And of all the amazing things that I wanted to see in Venice, there was one on my list that normally isn't in most of the guidebooks as one of the key must-visit places. But being an art history buff, I really wanted to see the Scuola Grande di San Rocca. And it turns out that I got up in the morning, and when I arrived there, I had the place almost to myself, which was really cool. I was able to just look around and take my time in enjoying the art that I'd come to see there. It's kind of an underappreciated treasure whose walls contain over 60 paintings, large paintings, by Tintoretto. And Tintoretto was a late Renaissance painter who was a very committed Christian. Now, the leaders of the organization who owned the building asked him to paint this series of paintings on the life of Christ. And what he created as a result of that commission is an artistic retelling of the whole life of Jesus, illustrating nearly every major event in the Gospels. It's kind of a visual record of the stories contained in the Gospels and painted by one of the great painters of all time. So I toured the first floor, which is what you see here. Then I climbed the stairs to the second floor. And then I turned the corner. In the back, there was a room. And when I turned the corner and entered this large room, this is what I saw, what you're looking at now. I literally gasped aloud at the power of this triumphant image of the crucifixion, which covered the entire back wall of the building. Has anyone ever been there? Has anyone else ever seen it? Make sure if you get to Venice, you put this on your itinerary. This is an amazing painting. And though it's filled with bustling details, the central focus is Jesus on the cross. He hangs triumphant against the sky, his halo appearing, I think, almost like wings. We see his strength at the very moment of his greatest weakness. I found myself standing in front of this painting for the longest time, taking in every detail. And then, even though I hadn't planned to, I found myself praying in front of this painting. And the whole rest of the day, I was haunted by that image. Because it made real to me what had happened on the cross. that Jesus' sacrifice was no abstraction or neat little theological idea. This painting reminded me of the reality of the crucifixion, and it sparked an emotional response within me. Learning to live out the implications of what Jesus accomplished and how that should be transformative for our lives is what we call spiritual formation. Now, generally the work of spiritual formation involves such practices as prayer, reading and studying scripture, contemplation and meditation, serving others, and being part of a community of believers. But in my own life, I've discovered another indispensable tool for spiritual growth and formation, which is immersing myself in the arts, exposing myself to the life-changing influence of great art, music, literature, and film. And that's what I'd like to explore with you in this sermon. Now, many of my most profound and life-changing experiences with God have come in the context of viewing paintings, reading poems and novels, watching great films, or listening to music. And you've probably had such experiences too. Times when you could feel something really intense start to stir within you as you sang a hymn or a worship song. Or when a movie or a poem brought you to tears or moved you to think about your life in a deeper and unexpected way. Or when you finished the final chapter of a novel and realized that it had actually changed your perspective on the world around you. And that after reading that novel, even if in a small way, you'd never be the same. For the arts have the power to move us at the very deepest levels, touching our spirit and our emotions. They can give us new understandings, new perspectives. They can change us in ways that we really can't explain. They can kind of do, as it were, an end run around the protective walls that we construct for ourselves. And they create a vulnerability that can invite God into our lives. At their best, the arts offer us experiences that are beyond the purely rational. And I found that these experiences can be truly transformative. They can change me. I've heard a lot of stories over the years about the difference that the arts have made in people's spiritual lives. About a woman who began attending church again after attending a performance of Bach's St. Matthew's Passion. Another who had his interest in Jesus Christ ignited by watching the miniseries Jesus of Nazareth. It made Christ feel real and compelling to him for the very first time in his life. Yet another friend told me of joining a gospel choir because she enjoyed singing. But then the words that she was singing began to offer hope and caused her to revisit her spiritual questions. Here's the point. The arts can help us by bringing about transformation and growth within us. No, I'm good. Thanks. I'd love to share a few ways that the arts are making a difference in my own spiritual life and invite you, if you aren't already doing so, to consider more intentionally making the exposure to great art a central part of your own spiritual journey. Now, here are just three of the many, many ways that the arts can impact our lives. First, the arts counter the narrative of reductionism. Now, if you're a little older, you might remember years ago when the rock group Kansas had a huge hit with a song that suggested that all we are is dust in the wind. Remember that song? This little hymn of hopelessness, I think, reflects the way that many see themselves and see the world. Many profess to a philosophy of nothing but. Humans are nothing but the evolutionary product of molecules in motion. Love is nothing but the romanticized response to the reaction of bodily chemistry and the need to propagate the species. Religious convictions are nothing but empty fantasies and wishes. And meaning doesn't exist except as we create it for ourselves. We are just dust in the wind. Now, the philosophical term for this kind of thinking is reductionism. And I think it's pervasive in our time and in our culture. It rests on the belief that only science can tell us the truth about ourselves and our world. Now, the Christian, of course, holds a very different set of convictions about reality. We have an alternative story to tell, a hope based on the meaning invested in us by our Creator. Sometimes it might feel to us as though our story is out of step with this reductionist narrative all around us. But we have an unexpected ally in countering the reductionism of our time, and that is the arts. They can provide us with a counter-narrative to the stifling effects of reductionism. The work of the best artists, writers, musicians, and other creatives point us out the complexity of reality, its subtlety, its spiritual foundations, and its multivalent meanings. Great art exposes deeper levels of meaning and purpose and design. The arts teach us to stop and pay attention to the things we might otherwise ignore. They help us reflect on the meanings that are inherent within a moment, holding it up for our inspection and our contemplation so that we might glimpse the depths. The great artists, kind of like in this picture, pull back the curtain. They pull back the curtain to reveal that there's more to life than first meets the eye. Rembrandt and Van Gogh encourage us to take a second look so that our vision can be expanded. Bach and Mozart ask us to listen and let the music speak into our deepest places. Gerard Manley Hopkins and Wordsworth speak of a world that is, quote, charged with the glory of God, just like the psalmist did of old. Go ahead and move to the next slide. Things are not less than they appear to be at first glance, but actually infinitely more than they might initially appear to be. For the universe is not simply a machine, but more like a complex and glorious poem. The arts give us a new and richer window into the world, whether through a novel by Dostoevsky or Jane Austen, a painting by Vermeer or Monet, a symphony by Beethoven, or a song by Bob Dylan, a poem by Emily Dickinson or T.S. Eliot. Artists all help us understand that the world is bigger, more complicated, more nuanced, and more mysterious than we'd ever imagined it to be before we partook of their art. And therefore, the arts can open me to the realities of the spiritual world and help me see how spiritual realities penetrate and suffuse this world in which we live. We can be unafraid to embrace a mystery, for we know that we will find God there. The arts teach us to look for the spiritual clues hidden all around us, the mysteries that are there, present among us, the clues hidden in plain sight in this God-haunted world. Second thing is the arts can teach us how to pay attention. Here's a question I think we should all ask ourselves. Do we move through our lives like pilgrims or like tourists? Now, tourists, what do? They rush from one thing to the next, always a little bit frantic to make sure they've checked off all the essential items on their list. The tourist is always just visiting and has to cram in all the experiences that they can to show that they've been there and done that. But pilgrims are different. Pilgrims move at a deliberate pace, stopping to take in the sights along the way, learning and listening and recognize the holy things for what they are. They are on a meaningful journey. So are you a pilgrim? Are you a tourist? We can so easily become like tourists in our own lives. In a rush to see and do, we can miss out on what there is for us to experience. We can rush through our lives without paying very much attention. Can you imagine going to one of the great museums like the Metropolitan or the Art Institute of Chicago or any number of great art museums and just rushing through it in about taking about 20 minutes just to run through it and then considering, well, I've done the museum. But often I think we're that way with our lives. We're rushing through the museum of our own lives. And the arts can teach us to slow down and reorder the busyness and the chaos within our lives. They can help us to see more deeply and maybe even begin to see some things for the first time. The arts can help us learn to pay attention to the world around us, to the world inside of us, and to the God who loves us. Art can be, I think, in a certain sense, an alarm clock that awakens us. It's all too easy for us to sleepwalk through our lives, and great art has the power to wake us and to get us to start to pay attention. We spend so much of our time nostalgically thinking about the past or fretting about the future that we can lose touch with now, this present moment, the moment when we are offered the opportunity to really live and to really have a connection with God. Which leads us to number three. The arts can prepare us for prayer and contemplation. In Greek, there are two words that are used to speak of time, chronos and kairos. Chronos is clock time, best registered by a digital clock. It's a series of distinct passing moments, one after the other, after the other. But kairos is time as a quality. As used in the scriptures, it is the fullness of time. Kairos speaks of bringing meaning and significance to the moments of our lives. And the arts can, I think, do this amazing thing. They can capture a single moment of time and open it up for an unhurried gaze and inspection. Any of the works on the tables there, you could actually spend a lot of time with, just to sit with it, think about it, let it speak to you. Try to spend time with it. The arts allow us to stop time and contemplate the moment so that we may find the kairos within the chronos. And the arts, I think, are so effective for preparing our hearts and readying us for a time of prayer. Then, through prayer and contemplation, we can offer these very moments to God. The arts can open up a window into the spiritual world. Let's go ahead and hit the next slide. They can allow a fresh breeze of spiritual experience to waft through. The arts slow us down so we can take in what is in front of our eyes and let it be a window into the truth, a way of becoming aware of God's presence and an impetus for a deeper and for more profound personal intimacy with God. What this requires is silence, focus, and an open heart of vulnerability. If we do this, it will prepare our hearts for prayer. The idea isn't to do an exegesis or a careful analysis of the work. That may follow later, as you continue to contemplate that image in your memory. But the first order of business is just to experience the art, to allow it to prepare us to experience life itself a little bit differently, as it teaches us to see everything just a little bit differently. Here's an example. Who's this painting by? Anybody know it or want to take a stab at it? It's by Claude Monet. And to me, this Monet painting exudes the very essence of peace and quietude. It captures the moment of absolute stillness in the wintry French countryside. A solitary magpie sits atop a ramshackle gate, surrounded by a stone wall that is, like the trees, covered in a blanket of snow. And blue-gray shadows stretch on the almost undisturbed ground. Can't you just feel the chill of the winter morning? You can almost imagine yourself seeing your breath cloud-like in the cold air. As you look at it, you feel as though you're there. That's what art can do for us. It can teach us to wake up and to be truly present. We spend so much of our time nostalgically thinking about the past or worrying about the future that we can lose touch with that now, that present moment. In fact, what I think art can do is help us to learn to be immersively present in the moment. This is what in the Christian tradition we call contemplation. The great spiritual writer Jean-Pierre de Caussade refers to this as the sacrament of the present moment. He believed that God is at work in each of our own personal histories. He believed that God is speaking to us at every moment through the things we see and hear and experience. But we are usually just not listening. He taught us that we can find God in the midst of the beautiful and the amazing, but also in the mundane and the ordinary. We can discern his direction for our lives by attending to what he is revealing in the present moment. But we must be paying attention. C.S. Lewis said this: "We can ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito. And the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. The real labor is to remember, to attend. In fact, to come awake. Still more, to remain awake." So we must slow down. We must quiet that inner chaos. We must focus, fully attend. We must put aside analyzing everything and sometimes just allow ourselves to be. We must open ourselves up for a moment of revelation, a moment when we can really penetrate beyond and see. And when contemplating, such a painting as this one has the ability to quiet our inner turmoil. It could serve as a reminder for us to stop and to pray. So, beware, for art can change you. Don't take it too lightly. Don't limit your experience of the arts to what is simply entertaining, distracting, and easy to digest. Challenge yourself to seek out the kind of art that will make a difference in the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you experience life. You can embrace the arts actually as a tool for spiritual formation and as a place to meet God. They can be a place to experience his correction, to better grasp his priorities, or simply just reminded of his love. Through the arts, you can better understand that you are just a fellow traveler on the journey of faith, following the tracks which pilgrim artists have left behind on canvas, in stone, in sound, and in words. So I offer up this challenge to step outside your comfort zone, to invest a little time and attend in reading, listening, and looking. And see if your explorations in the arts don't pay off with dividends that will make a difference in this life and help prepare you for the life to come. Thank you.